AI is unprecedented, or is it precedented? We're reaching back to any technological innovation in history to try to understand what our future might hold. And I was kind of fascinated by all of the different bloggers and journalists attempting to refer to the different historical events as a prediction machine. And the problem with that is that when you choose an analogy, you're already building your case into it. You're already make it, it's an analogy is essentially a conclusion in a costume. This came up for me this week because my wife forwarded me an episode of the New York Times, The Daily, and the title was What AI is Actually Doing to the Economy. Not to toot my own horn, but the first 20 minutes were, well, things that I have covered on my Substack, the J Curve, and many of the other things, which proves to me that she's not following along. She's not reading or listening to any of my content, which is fine. I don't blame her. Anyways, my point is in it, Ben Castleman, who's the chief economics correspondent for New York Times, he was being interviewed and he essentially saying, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen, but there's going to be some sort of transition. And it depends on how quickly that transition happens and how intense it is. And he essentially provides two analogies, which is not something that I've heard anybody else do. One was the internet. And he makes this case that the internet, the kind of the power of the internet displaced jobs, but not all at once and not in any geographic location. And so it's the common refrain is really about travel agents, right? So it wasn't that big of a challenge because travel agents were either young enough in their career and they can change direction or, they weren't completely put out of business. It was, just took time. The other analogy was the China shock, which is that when China entered the World Trade Organization, entire towns of manufacturing that were previously essentially hubs for, let's say, furniture manufacturing were completely decimated. And what I liked about his approach is that he actually presented two ideas, and I hadn't heard that before. So that's what I want to talk about today is AI, the analogies we use, and what we can learn from looking at it from a wider perspective. I'm Josh Levine, a transformation executive, helping teams learn to use AI together. I've spent the last 20 years paying attention to how work actually works, technology, culture, incentives, and the stories we tell ourselves about capitalism doing what it's supposed to do. This is the audio version of my Substack. You should go and subscribe. Working out in real time, how AI is changing how we look for and do work, and eventually, maybe what to do about it. This is the Job Shit Show. This episode, is AI the light bulb or the loom? The printing press, railroads, the internet, technological innovations throughout history have elevated living standards, but also obviously caused massive disruptions to existing systems and power structures. Mary Daly, the president of the San Francisco Fed, referred to electricity adoption when she spoke to the Silicon Valley Leadership Group in February of 2026. She was explaining that we don't know the effect that AI will have on the economy yet. Quote, "Let me start with a simple maxim. Transformations take time. Think about electrification. Sitting here with lights, computers, fully electric vehicles, it's easy to imagine it just happened with the flip of a switch. The truth is, it took nearly 100 years to move from Michael Faraday's and Joseph Henry's generation of electric current in the 1830s to electricity boosting productivity growth and transforming the economy." Another anecdote that's everywhere is this reference to the Luddites. In 1811, English cloth workers started smashing looms and frames, but only at specific factories owned by the bosses who paid the least and abused workers the most. Now, these Luddites weren't against machines per se. They were against being replaced by cheaper, untrained labor, often children. And one part of the story that gets lost in the retelling is that these workers spent almost a decade petitioning Parliament for a minimum wage unsuccessfully before they raised their hammers to do the smashing. Now, that gets condensed down when we refer to somebody as a Luddite, as someone who is not willing to adopt new technology. And this is the case now. So the tech journalist Bryant Merchant wrote a book about the whole thing called Blood in the Machine. It was published in 2023. And now he's continues to report on the reemergence of that story in conjunction with AI. He has a post called Understanding the Luddites in the Age of AI. And he points to the yes, you are a Luddite and the no, I'm not going on around Bernie Sanders' stance on a data center moratorium. The Washington Post editorial board, Ben Shapiro, and a Newsweek op-ed all used that same insult. Sanders, in turn, shot back in a Fox News article. So here's the thing. All sides, both Mary Daly, Bernie Sanders, the people criticizing him, the journalists, they're all relying on an old story and its outcomes to bolster their arguments, right? Each analogy tells a different story. Daly's story is about patience. It fits her mental model as a policymaker that transformation is going to take time. It's something that she and her colleagues can imagine and measure and watch change, right? So in her world, wait, reorganize, retrain, it's very orderly. Merchant's story, both in his book and his post, is about power. This is about organizing, regulating, demanding a seat. Which story any leader reaches for will tell you what they think their job is, what you can imagine what their conclusion is. Whichever you prefer and whatever lesson you take from it, I thought it was a good week to share a project that I created a few months ago. I used AI to draft a timeline of historical disruptions for a talk that I was giving to a group of communications designers in Seattle. They're grappling with their futures as much as any industry, and it seemed useful to provide some perspective. For them and for myself, I thought it'd be useful to take a more expansive look at disruptive technologies over time. What the specific fear was, how resistance took shape, and approximately how long the transition took. As for the accuracy of the timeline, I did check every date and claim against sources and found that even three of the best-known anecdotes about technological panic turned out to be folklore. I left them in my timeline and labeled them because I think they're useful stories. So I've published my timeline, and if you would like to check it out, please check out my Substack, joshlevine.substack.com. There's a link in this week's article. I'm going to use this construct, this timeline, in the next few weeks to continue exploring aspects of AI on and the aspects or the effects of AI on business and leadership. I doubt I'm going to come to any conclusive predictions about what is going to happen, but the chart does show that just because it happened before in a certain order with a specific outcome doesn't prove it will happen like that again. In fact, I have three examples of predictions that failed to materialize. Abundance of nuclear power and the promise of too cheap to meter. The paperless office that was predicted in the 1970s. And the prevalence of 3D printing. These were all confident forecasts by serious people, but they didn't come true. My point is that we reach for these historic analogies to try and learn, to try to glean what might be happening. And I think any single one isn't as helpful as all of them. So I'm pretty proud of the timeline. It's interactive, and you can kind of scroll along and It starts at the printing press and ends up at ChatGPT. So again, check it out. It'll be at joshlevine.substack.com. Thanks for listening. The Job Shit Show is brought to you by me and my company, Great Mondays, a change consultancy helping leaders of private companies elevate how their teams operate in an AI-driven work world. Learn more about my work at greatmondays.com. Subscribe to the Job Shit Show on Substack. And if this episode was helpful, send it to a friend. And if you're really into it, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find the show. The Shit Show will continue next week. I'll talk to you then.